B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, hottie, how are you? Hi, Beagle, how are you?
Hi, how are ya?
Yeah, Zolak and Bertrand, no Zoe today. He's on his way to Nashville. I think right now. He was talking about an earlier flight yesterday. I don't know if he had to move his flight up or not. Complaining about production meetings today. You know, how the burden of a, 30-minute production meeting?
The poor guy.
The burden of that meeting today. And having it moved up, I think, to an earlier time than what it was originally scheduled. So he's not here today. You'll, of course, be able to see him tomorrow on television for preseason game number two. Speaking of preseason game number two, Patriots already there. Joint practices this week. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston has been there covering it. He does a podcast with Phil Perry. And on their podcast for NBC Sports Boston, they discuss the topic that we have brought up sort of half-heartedly this week and sort of jokingly this week. And that is the recruitment of Tom Brady to Tennessee. I brought this up, that Mike Vrabel is recruiting Tom Brady to Tennessee.
We've been doing it tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, tongue-in-cheek, exactly. They take it a step further on the Quick Slants podcast. They take it to a serious level. In fact, it inspires me to get more hot takey around here. Because I don't believe Tom Brady's going to end up in Tennessee. But I do believe that Mike Vrabel, doing his job, will try and get Tom Brady to at least put it in his mind and maybe even get him to take a visit there if he's going to get to a point where he considers free agency as an option.
He's kind of taking a visit there right now.
Right? I mean, what better way to do it than in real live practice action?
You see kind of what it's like.
What's the facility like? How does he run his practices? How is Mike Vrabel at running a practice as a head coach? That's something Tom Brady doesn't have a lot of experience seeing, right? He's seeing that, even though it's his friend. So he's seen it firsthand this week. Tom Brady seeing his old friend, Mike Vrabel, longtime friend, as he said yesterday. They're good buddies. They're close in age. They played in the same conference in college. They played in the same team. They won Super Bowls together. Tom Brady threw that man touchdown passes. And now one is still playing and the other one is a head coach. That is a really strange dynamic. Very unique. Tom Curran and Phil Perry seriously discussed the possibility of Brady considering the Titans as an option for next year. Here it is. Listen.
You mentioned Mariota's contract. He could be out as soon as the end of this year. We have talked many times about how Tom Brady's on a one-year deal. Understanding that it is probably a low percentage chance that Brady does in fact eventually move on, unless you want to amend my comment on that.
Nope.
Would Nashville, if that small percentage chance were to become reality, would Nashville make sense for him because of the Vrabel connection?
You know, I said it earlier today to someone here in Tennessee when we were talking about it. A Tennessee writer said, you know, Brady actually leaving, I'd say the chance of that happening is 10%. But if Brady does eventually take free agent visits, I would put the likelihood of him visiting Tennessee probably at 70 or 80. I mean, it's a good team in the AFC with a head coach and general manager who he's familiar with. And the more you watch him interact with Vrabel and Vrabel's wife, Jen, for instance, after practice, those are the people he grew up with. Those are the people who you know, he had a kinship with, they're almost the same age. Vrabel just turned 44. Brady's 42. They're a year apart. They both played in the Big Ten. These are friends. You don't think that that would appeal to Brady to be with a guy who is competitive and appreciative? You think Mike Vrabel's watching what Tom Brady's doing to this allegedly pretty serious defense and saying, my God, this guy, look at what he's doing, but look at what he's doing it with. So if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I'm finding a way to try and convince Tom Brady to, you know, head for the Blue Ridge Mountains or whatever the hell they are down here. Because it would make sense.
That again, Tommy Caron, Phil Perry, Quick Slants podcast.
Okay.
10% chance that he leaves, by the way. That's a high percentage.
Well, he's saying, look, if you have to give it a percentage, and I would put it any lower than that, the fact is there is a percentage involved. And all we're doing is we're extrapolating out, and we are allowing for the possibility, at least I am, for these things to happen. And I don't think it's probable. And I think Tom Brady finishes his career as a Patriot. But, okay, I have to put it in the realm of possibility. It's a small chance that he explores free agency legitimately with other teams. And if he does that, I said this yesterday.
What did you say?
I said, if he is going to go to another team, or at least visit with another team, take a meeting with another team, who makes more sense than the Titans? Right now, in terms of their need, in terms of the situation he'd be going to, in terms of likelihood, who is he likely to take a meeting with if he actually, and he will be a free agent as of right now, the way they just signed this deal,
right?
Not the contract that was signed 3 years ago and they haven't, no, brand new deal. They just signed it. And it says Tom Brady, the years 2 and 3 of this deal pretty much don't even exist. They are nullified at the end of this season in March. Done. Free agent. What then? If he does explore and he does want to talk to a team, tell me, who would he talk to? Who would you put above in the however small the likelihood would be, who would you put above the Titans in terms of a likely team for him to talk to?
Right now or yes. A year from now?
Right now.
I mean, you could potentially talk about the team that he played in the Super Bowl. You could talk about the Rams. Granted, he would have to take his offense and tell McVay, we're scrapping what you do. We do what I do now. Right? So there are no perfect fits. But in terms of a good team that he could get right back to the Super Bowl with, there are other options. This isn't like it would be the only option.
Caron mentioned AFC there.
Yeah,
that
why
was interesting.
Is that?
He just dropped it in. It's a team in the AFC.
Why does it have to be an AFC team, I wonder?
I'm just wondering if he knows something.
Yeah, I just wonder what that's all about. I mean, he is right. The Titans were, what, 9-7 last year? They're not a bad team. They're not a joke. They seem to be heading up and not down. They're going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. They desperately need the quarterback piece. He obviously would take care of that. Well, how many wins is Tom Brady worth? In addition to what they've already got.
I mean, but in addition to the 9, don't you have to say Brady is by himself, just his mere presence there is worth 2 more?
Oh, I would say 3, minimum. Yeah, you're a 12-win team all of a sudden. Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. You're right. Which is why I think this is, you know, real. I know that we've talked about it tongue-in-cheek, but if you're the Titans and you're Mike Vrabel, you should actually try and get inside of, you know, his head this week on this front. At least try and get him thinking about it, even if you've got very little chance of actually making it come to fruition. And I think that's probably reality. They probably don't have a very good shot, but what do you got to lose if you're them?
Well,
you have nothing to lose in this.
You said it's, you know, it's due diligence. It's, you know, you're going up against the greatest to ever play the game. You're going up against a guy that you know, and you have the opportunity maybe to get his services for the last couple of years that he's going to play when he's still playing at a very, very high level. That's just doing your job. That's what you said from the beginning. Vrabel, anybody else who, as silly, as ridiculous, as far-fetched as it may sound, you have to do it. You have to explore it. You have to do whatever you can to see if this is going to be a possibility, even if it's just for a couple of years. I don't care who you've got in there.
Did you see the video of Mike Vrabel talking to Alex Guerrero?
No.
Did you hear Alex? Did you hear Mike Vrabel talking about Alex Guerrero?
Yes. I did not see the video of the two of them talking.
Oh, dapping it up on the field, chatting, talking, hugging it out, saying their goodbyes. If you're watching on our simulcast, you can catch this right now.
Oh yeah, I saw the still of this.
They were over to the left of the video that we're taking a look at in our studio right now, off to the left side. But they were there, and Vrabel was talking to Guerrero, and then they, you know, sort of hug it out, say goodbye as everyone was departing. And so you can see him left side of that screen.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. See them? Yeah, it's all laughs, you know? The way to Brady's heart is through Alex. So Vrabel knows that. He's no fool. He's pulling out all the stops down there this week.
Hey, Alex, I heard your house was for sale, but then it wasn't for sale. What's going on?
Vrabel will buy it if he needs to. He'll expense it to the Titans.
Yeah. His kid lives in this area, right?
He will expense it to the Titans, and his kid all of a sudden will be throwing the best frat parties you've ever seen in the town of Norfolk.
That's right.
I know it's a little bit of a drive from BC,
but
it
ain't bad. What? It'll be worth it. What, 3-4 days a week?
It'll be worth it. They'll be throwing 3-day weekends down there once the football season's over. All of a sudden, the BC football team will be rolling up for weekend parties. They'll use the Crooked House.
Guys, come down to my place. Wait till you see the Crooked Playhouse. We're going to be tripping balls and playing in that thing.
So, I don't know. I just think that that's what's been going on down there this week. And we sort of brought it up at the start of the week jokingly, but it happened. I think it did happen, and it's worth keeping an eye on as we go into the offseason. Vrabel and Brady are friends, and they didn't try and hide that this week. That was the thing that I found sort of interesting about it. They didn't try and hide it at all. These guys gushed about how much they love each other all week long, publicly, when they spoke, every time, how fun it was to see each other, how fun it was to be on the field together. Talked all about it, how right. great it was to be a part of a practice together,
and just
to bust each other's balls all week long, right. the back and forth, the chirping each other, all week.
And just when you think, you know, you're making too much of something like that, like, oh, that doesn't mean anything. It happens all the time. Like, let's say it's a couple of basketball players talking at an All-Star weekend. Oh, what, guys just can't talk who know each other anymore? They can, but sometimes they end up playing for the same team in Brooklyn. So, you know, that it does mean something when these guys are chumming it up and seem to have a rapport.
And I don't think...
It can mean something.
I don't think we'd be reading into any of this if it were not for what happened with the contract 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, everyone starts thinking about things differently with that contract change, including the people involved like Tom Brady.
It's all in play.
Because now things could be in play. You start thinking, hey, maybe this is something I could consider. Right?
Of course. It's something that, as you said, at the very, very least, teams are going to be aware of. They know what's going on, and they will be doing their due diligence in order to make Tom Brady think, hey, as long as you're not locked in and you don't have a deal, here's an idea. I know you hadn't thought about, but I know everyone thinks you're going to retire there, but just, you know, chew on this for a second. They're just giving him something to chew on.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. We will continue with some football thoughts today, including something that Brady talked about yesterday. We heard his press conference late in the show, right before we got to takeaways. He's talked about his receivers yesterday, something to bounce off of there that he said, and something that Zoe said during yesterday's show about Tom Brady's current state of mind on his receivers. Why don't we get to that coming up next? And plenty more to get to on this Friday and all your thoughts from the week. 617-779-0985. Hardy in for Zoe. Sarge on headlines today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I think those guys are working, you know, working hard. And I think training camp's an interesting time with a lot of bodies and there's a lot of guys in and out. And I think that's really, you know, some years you might have three guys set or four guys set. And I think this year we haven't really had that. So, you know, it's good work for the quarterback just to make a read and then make a throw. And whether we come up with it or not, like at least we're going to the right place and making a good decisive play. So there's still a lot to be gained, you know, with guys moving in and out. That's just the way it's been.
It's tick, tick, tick leading up to the beginning of the season, though. I mean, is it a situation where you're like, all right, we need to settle in and get some good work in with the guys who are going to be playing? Yeah. How do you approach it?
I mean, I don't think that's – I mean, I don't think that's really in my control. And I think for the guys who are out there, they're trying to get the work they need to do, you know. And I think there was good competitive work. You're going against Malcolm, Logan, Adderay, I mean, those are three really good corners. They got two very good safeties, so good group of linebackers, a good scheme. You know, who's ever in there has got to get to work. So that's kind of what we – it was a good couple of days.
Hardy made a great point about Tom Brady yesterday. He said when Tom Brady speaks, he always sounds very pleasant. He's sort of a pleasant-sounding guy. Which many times...
Affable.
Yeah, can lead you to think that, yeah, he's not really saying much. This guy's not saying much. He's sort of just giving you a lot of words. No, I think he maybe said something there about his receivers group. Well, they're working hard. Some years you have a group where you actually know who your receivers are, and this isn't one of those years. I mean, that's what he was basically saying. If you listen to that... And you listen closely to what he is telling you, but the way he delivers it, it sounds friendly. You know, all these guys are working hard. But if you listen, you're like, wait, he just basically said, I don't have anybody out here. Right? But he just sounds so friendly and affable and pleasant that
it washes it never over you.
Yeah,
like it's a
just
warm bath.
Yes, it's just, oh, it's Brady. You know, it never sounds mean. It never sounds angry. He never has that tone about him.
You people wonder why Brady's pissed.
Oh, and then there was that yesterday. You people wonder why Brady's pissed.
Well, what people and Brady's pissed?
And then what? Jim goes, whoa, 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 Brady's pissed? No.
Well, no.
Wouldn't you be?
Well, yes. You stated.
Do we have that full thing in context from yesterday? I don't know that we do. We just pulled the drop.
Fact. Someone who's running.
And you people wonder why Brady's pissed. Wait, what? He's pissed?
Oh.
Tongue tied.
You people wonder why Brady's pissed.
Oh. I don't wonder why at all, actually. Zoe? Don't wonder why at all. Actually, I think it's pretty easy to figure out. I don't think it's that hard to see. I see the group. And look at the group of receivers in this camp and say, oh, I'd be pissed too. I get it.
It'd be nice if they could clear up like $8 million or something to pay a receiver.
Oh, wait, they did that, right? How much cap space do they have?
No, like, they gave it to Brady.
13?
They gave it to Brady. So if Brady's pissed, then give the $8 million back. Get a receiver.
Wait, they have plenty of cap space. What do you mean?
They can get one right now.
$13 million in cap space right now. They're not to the limit.
No, they gave Brady money, but they created cap space in the process. They can go do it.
Why, they're paying Brady too much at $23 million this year? Well, he's overpaid? Brady's making too much?
The 23 plus the bonus money's already been paid for this year.
What is the dollar figure on that? What is the total amount? Do we have that? Brady's overpaid now?
I'll go look. No.
So Brady's, Brady's making too much money. That's why he can't have nice things. Brady's making too much money. That's why they're hoping Jacoby Myers works out. That's why it's Dontrell Inman.
They didn't use draft capital to draft a first round receiver either, did they?
No, they did, but I mean that's not a sure bet, and you can't. I'm sorry. Listen, I love N'Keal Harry as a pick. I love that pick. I think it's great that they did it, and I hope he turns into everything we want him to be. But that's not a like surefire plan going into the year. I mean, they're rookies. Rookies take time to develop. They take time to sort of grow into what they are as players. You can't expect him day one to be awesome.
No, you can't expect a veteran in this offense to be from day one either, because we've seen that fail a lot of times too.
Well, I mean, who are the veterans that we know are going to be any good?
No, this year we don't. I'm saying veterans aren't guaranteed to be good from day one either. It took Danny Amendola a whole season.
But at least you know you have professionals. The other guys you have here, you don't even know that they're pros.
But Demaryius Thomas is a pro.
If he can still play.
Benjamin Watson's a pro.
Oh, Ben Watson, I count him as a pro. No doubt about it. He's going to be here. I'm not talking about Ben Watson. I'm talking about receivers.
See, the problem is with that Brady money argument, Jim, is that Brady can easily point around the league and say, well, how is it that this team has been able to figure it out? This team has one or even two top-tier receivers, and they're paying other guys, too.
Well, like who, though? Which teams?
Because
a lot of the teams that have high-paid receivers
don't have
rookie
quarterbacks
that are on rookie contracts.
Right. Baker Mayfield, that's a good example.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, another good example.
Deshaun Watson.
But they're paying other guys on those teams. That other teams have figured out ways to have multiple high-priced offensive players.
Why does it have to be high-priced?
Or multiple well-paid offensive players.
I don't even think it needs to be high price. It's just going to be better than undrafted rookie free agents. I don't need a $20 million receiver. Well, No. I'm not saying you got to go out and sign, you know, Julio Jones here. I'm just saying you need something more than... And listen, I hope...
There's a team, the Falcons. They pay their quarterback, they pay their receivers.
Oh, yeah, they do. They absolutely do.
You got Mohamed Sanu and you got Julio Jones.
Hard knocks.
And they drafted a guy
Oakland
in Calvin Ridley.
Raiders.
Oakland Raiders have a paid quarterback and paid receivers. I don't want to be the Raiders. Yeah. I get it. I get what you're saying.
But you don't want
to. There's an argument against paying all. Yeah. Oh, let's just pay receivers and pay quarterbacks, Gruden.
How about.
Right? Mayock. Bunch of fools. No, I get it. I'm not saying break the bank, but when they were looking at guys back in the spring, they lost out on the targets they went after. They lost out on the Golden Tates. And granted, the prices were high in the spring. They were. They lost out on, who was that little white guy they lost out on there?
Adam Humphries. They tried to pay him. They couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't land him. Bill and Linda were on vacation, so they were sort of busy. They were away. I don't know what Nick Caserio was doing, if he was trying to get another job at the time. I don't know what he was tied up with.
He was in Houston.
They were clearly distracted back in the spring. They didn't get the job done. They didn't do enough in the offseason. It's coming back to bite them. And we're going to see that on display tomorrow.
Well, part of the reason why we're going to see that on display tomorrow is we still haven't seen Julian Edelman. And it's not like we've forgotten about Julian Edelman, but in a way, out of sight, out of mind, you're not thinking about him right now because he hasn't been in camp or he hasn't been practicing. He hasn't been taking reps with the offense. And you do forget about Edelman. And once the season starts, he'll be out there. And he'll be the guy. Just beyond that, you don't really have a tight end. You have running backs who can catch the ball, but receivers. Are you going to rely? Yes, you are going to rely on Dorsett. You're gonna end up relying on N'Keal Harry, which might end up doing wonders for you. But it still seems like once again they're heading into the season with a lack of guys to catch the football from Tom Brady. And it's obnoxious, but it's real easy to point out. Well, it hasn't bothered them in the past. You're right. They do seem to figure it out. Would it make Tom Brady's life easier if he had just one more set of hands out there that he could trust and rely on? Of course it would. But again, this season, he'll be starting week one without that guy on the team.
We have the Brady Piston context report. It's been filed. This is from yesterday's show. Ready?
Yes.
Have a listen.
Gunnar Olszewski.
Olszewski.
Yeah.
Gunnar Olszewski. He is out of Division II. Bemidji? How do
Bemidji
you say
State?
Bemidji State.
He was a defensive back there.
Olszewski is accounting well for himself, according to Mike Reese today in practice.
I'll take advantage of some reps. Yeah.
Doug Kide of Nesson has the list of the receivers the Patriots had out there today in practice.
An undrafted defensive back from Bemidji State
only happened
is getting the first reception from Tom Brady.
First pass in a competitive drill today.
Red zone drills.
You people wonder why Brady's pissed.
What a world.
Receivers today, Jacoby Myers.
Wait, Brady's pissed?
No.
No.
I said you said that.
What?
No.
He immediately took it back. Receivers today, Jacoby Myers.
Wait, Brady's pissed?
No.
Then there was an awkward silence after that. You sure?
No. Oh, no. No, I don't know. No.
I don't know. Maybe he's pissed. I don't know. 617-779-0985.
It's not all bad. Eric Saubert caught a pass from Stidham in 11-on-11s yesterday. That's the guy. Beadle and I are talking on the way in today from Thursday's practice
report. Who is he?
From Thursday's practice report in the Boston Globe. I said, there was a guy got mentioned who I'd never heard of.
Like, I don't even know who that is.
Who? New guy, Eric Saubert. Caught a pass from Stidham during 11-on-11.
They traded for the tight end. They traded for. They cut Etling and they traded for the tight end from the Falcons. That's the tight end.
That's not a receiver. That's the big. That's the kid from.
A football.
How do you say his name?
I've heard it Saubert. I don't know.
I'll go with Sorbet.
I don't think you're saying it right.
I'm sure.
I heard
I'm
it
not,
different.
But I like it. It's just like Stegman. I'll call Stidham Stegman. It's Saubert. Saubert. His first name is Eric. I'm going to call him Guy Sorbet. There's another guy who can catch a football. He caught one from Steggy yesterday. Good.
They got him for like a conditional late round, didn't they?
They're all set.
I heard that trade earlier in the week, and I thought, yeah, that doesn't mean he's very good.
Sorbet. It
means he's probably not all that good.
He's a palate cleanser.
get a little spoon. Plastic spoon. Does he come with a little plastic spoon? Is that what you're asking? Palate cleanser. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Vinny and Revere, quickly. Go ahead, Vinny.
What's going on, guys? Real quick, I just wanted to talk about that Brady thing going off to Tennessee. I honestly don't think he's going to go anywhere, but the thought that kind of ran through my mind is like when Lombardi went to the Redskins just to prove to people that he could still coach and ended up bringing that team to like a playoff run. There's a little slight chance in my brain that says Brady might want to go somewhere just to be like, you know what? I can do it with another team. Even if it's for 1 year, just to go down to Tennessee and say, look, I brought them to the playoffs. We made a deep run. Look, I can still do it. But I highly doubt it. But I think if anything, it would be for him to say, I can do it with another team. Okay. What do you guys think?
I have a thought on this. Do you want it right now?
He want to do it with another team? Okay. Also, future coaching prospects for the Patriots. That's on the way after headlines with Sarge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are 3 words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Joe cracked it on.
Got a great giveaway coming up next hour at 11:50. You can win, but it's a prize you're going to give to your kids. You're going to get a part of it, too. It's 4-pack of tickets to see the Patriots, along with a Patriots Pro Shop gift card, on-field passes.
That's a great prize right there.
An autographed football. And
Stop right there.
And
that's an amazing prize right there.
Yeah. This prize is pretty ridiculous. That's right. Your child, age 6 to 16, this is not now. It's coming up at 11:50 today. Will be chosen to be the Scotty's kickoff kid and receive a 4-pack of tickets against Carolina. 4 on-field passes. Pro Shop gift card, autographed football from Steven Goskowski, and be on the field to pick up the tee after a kickoff.
Come on. Come on.
Like, be the kid that runs out to the field,
right,
picks up the tee, runs back off.
Now, here's the interesting part.
Yeah.
They run out on the field while the play is still going on. So while the players are on the field, you got to get out there quickly and get that tee off before the play moves back into that area of the field. Probably not.
No.
They probably wait until it's whistled dead.
Right.
It would be more fun, though.
Sure would.
If they had... It's dangerous.
It'd be exciting. But that's coming up at 11:50 today.
I always wanted to have a dog that I could train to do that. You know, like how they have the dogs at the minor league baseball games, the bat-retrieving dogs.
Yeah.
And
you want a tea-retrieving dog?
And it's been done. You know, I had a dog that would have been great at it, except he used to crap all the time. And he would have got, when he got really, really excited and a lot of adrenaline, he would have to do it. And I'm pretty sure he would have done it, you know, somewhere on or near the field.
How about the XFL? Maybe the XFL could have this. Tea-retrieving dogs.
Where's the nearest XFL team going to be?
I don't know, but I saw that they signed their first quarterback yesterday.
Right.
And it reminded me why the XFL will fail. It was Landry Jones.
Yeah.
Former Pittsburgh backup and currently unemployed NFL quarterback. And I thought, you know why this is going to fail? The same reason all these other leagues have failed. The level of play is just not that good. It's all the guys who can't make it in the NFL. It's just not that good.
So they need to sign 8 quarterbacks minimum, and then they will have a quarterback draft to determine who goes where.
That's what they're doing.
It's going to be a team in New York, too. That's the closest.
All right. Now I'm not going to take the dog to New York. She's not going to be ready this by she might be ready by February.
What's the difference between the AFL and the XFL other than more aggressive rules and making it more violent? And the AFL tried to be more violent. They were allowing more hits, which I saw. Guys were getting crushed out there. But it were guys that weren't very good at football.
They
weren't guys that were playing at the highest level. It didn't interest me.
I don't know why people keep trying it. You've got more money than sense, I guess. You just want to dump tons and tons of money into something where I'm sure there will be ways to make money for some people on these things. But I have to think, just common sense would tell you, it is going to result in the loss of so much money for so many people, yet they're, let's get, this time it'll be different. This time around, it will be different.
Yeah.
No, it won't. You're still dealing with the same basic problem. You're not watching the best of the best. And that's why people aren't going to be as interested in it. And they're not going to fork over big sums of money for tickets and merchandise and for concessions when they go to the game. And the advertisers aren't going to do the same because the ratings aren't going to be as good. The people are going to lose a huge amount of money on this again, like they did the first time around the XFL, like they did with the AFL, and the USFL, you name it. The secondary football league is going to result in people losing money, yet there are people waiting in line, I'm sure, in some of these teams, in some of these cities. How do I get in on this? Why?
So
you don't like your money?
I don't think Tom Brady is prying himself free from the Patriots in March so he can go play in the XFL. You were going to tell us.
Well, that would be a challenge.
Right.
And as the caller said,
you were going to tell us, you know, what.
Thank you for reminding me.
What you thought about, in response to his comment, the caller saying he thinks that Brady would only want to go elsewhere to prove that he could do it elsewhere and without Bill Belichick.
Right. When you say, and well, he didn't say the Bill Belichick part.
Oh, sorry.
And that's the part that I think you have to focus in on, because when it comes to doing it with a new team, Tom Brady, if he wants to create his own narrative post-football, can do that and say that exact same thing, because he has essentially done it in 3 different eras with 3 different teams. You know, and there was the drought in the middle where they did not win, but multiple Super Bowl appearances and AFC championships and division titles. He succeeded, right up until the final game at the highest level with a different team. He's done it with 3 different teams. He's done it with so many different cast members around him. The only thing that has been the constant is the head coach and the owners. That's it. You know, you have to say what you will about playing in a stadium or a certain place, but really what it comes down to, oh, did he ever do it with a different team? Belichick. That would be the only thing he would have to prove. And if Tom Brady wants to craft his story, he could say that, oh, I know I only played for the Patriots, but look at the different people that I had around me. Completely different offensive lines. How many different left tackles has he played with? How many different receivers, running backs? I mean, he's already played and succeeded with different teams. We're talking about people at the end of the day. That's what it is. You want to talk about uniforms? Okay. Different parts of the country? Yes. But really, you're playing with different guys. The only thing that he would think that maybe he has to prove is he could do it with a different coach. And that's where I think he needs to be very, very careful because, Tom, if you don't, how does that change the narrative about you? Then it becomes back to, well, I guess it was, you know, oh, it was Brady and Belichick, sure, but maybe I'll give the edge to Belichick all along because Brady couldn't get it done without him. That's where he's got to be real, real careful. He can change the story to benefit him in most other areas by saying, oh, I never did with a different team. Of course I did. I had different guys every year. I played the game for 20 years. How many different guys were in and out of this team? Nobody played with it. Nobody. Not one person was there the entire time I was there. I played with different teams every year, but not the coach. That's the one thing he's got to be careful of.
Malcolm Butler spoke yesterday, had some comments about the Patriots and about his benching in the Super Bowl. Talked about that. And again, also want to talk about Patriots coaching prospects going forward. I know that's been an item of discussion here the last couple of days. We'll do both of those things coming up after this on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Malcolm Butler on his Super Bowl benching. I have no regrets at all. I graded out at 99%. One punt return rep. It was great. That's what he said after the joint practice yesterday. I enjoyed my time there and everything happens for a reason. I'm happy I'm still in the NFL. I have a great relationship with those guys. It's all good. I know the guy was real fast and I went 100%, graded out 100%. Butler was asked if he had received an explanation for what had happened. And he asked, where the hoodie at? Where the hoodie at?
Yeah, you want to ask something.
He said, it's the past and I am past that. That's what he said. That's what he said. He graded out at 99% on his one punt return rep that he had in the game.
So Norm Princiati wrote about this.
Not a benching. I graded out 99% in that Super Bowl. Had a good game. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Played well.
Norm Princiati wrote about Butler.
Yeah?
This one paragraph just bothered me, the lead paragraph. You know how after something bad happens, there's that perfect amount of time that needs to pass before, comma, suddenly, comma, the bad thing becomes a source of humor, question mark? It needs to be just long enough that whatever happened is squarely in the past, but not so long that joking about it loses its potential for catharsis. Do you mean tragedy plus time equals comedy? Is that what you're trying to say in 78 words? Yes, we know. What? What? Get to it. Did he say anything?
And Hardy says, I run hot.
You know how after something bad happens, and then you have to wait a certain amount of time.
That's what you get for picking up that paper every day.
I love this paper. And I like Nora Princiati, but it's like, yes, tragedy plus time equals comedy. What about it? What about it? Oh, get to the Malcolm Butler thing. What did he say? Nothing. Still don't know. Still don't know. Butler knows. Belichick knows. Those are the only two people who know, and they're still not saying. The more time that goes on, Beetle, the more I actually think that it is something that Butler truly deserved and that Belichick is doing him a solid by not saying what it is. Because if it's something that he didn't deserve to be benched for, don't you think Butler would have said it by now?
Well, this is what I'm starting to get annoyed with years later. Butler, tell me everything you know about that week. Where the hoodie at? No, shut up and tell me everything you know. Yeah. What do you know? You're not here anymore. I want to know everything you know that you did wrong that week. Tell me every last detail. I don't want an Instagram post. I want you to reveal everything you did wrong. You've got all kinds of money now. You are clearly financially secure. You've got a brand new team. You don't have to worry about any, like, blowback. Tell me all your screw-ups. No one's going to hold it against you. What happened? What did you do wrong? Tell me. I don't know. Like, years later, I'm now getting aggravated with the player, and I haven't been aggravated with the player until now, hearing him yesterday, hearing these quotes. Like, it's the quote is funny about the punt, the one punt return snap. Like, that is funny. But now it's like, okay, all right, you know what? It's been enough time. Tell me everything outside of your little Instagram I didn't do anything wrong post.
Right.
All right, what do you think it could have been then? In front of a microphone down with somebody and say, I think it could have been X, Y, and Z. I never got an explanation, but let me tell you everything that I did, I think I did wrong that could have caused it.
No, not even that. Take the word wrong out of it. You had it right, Beetle. All right, you didn't do anything wrong. Just tell me what you did.
What'd you do?
Tell me about the week. And then once you tell me
everything you did,
take me through it again.
Why'd you miss the flight again? How sick were you? Right? I want all of it. Tell me everything that happened in the 10 days leading up to that Super Bowl. And tell me about everything that happened between you and him that whole season. Like, I need to know it all at this point. I still want to know. I do. Right? We all do. We all still want to know.
That's why he's still being asked about it. I want to know.
So, that whole opening paragraph there?
Yeah. It just aggravated.
I don't know if it's funny yet. The quote is funny. The I do find that quote funny about the 99% grading out at 99 on the punt.
Yeah.
But it just reopens the story, right? It like rips open the wound. Like, wait, not now. Tell me something. Tell me what you know. Tell us the truth.
There's two guys who know, and they're still not saying it.
And neither one is going to tell us.
Yep. It's aggravating. And you can,
we can handle the truth. We can handle the truth.
Yeah. No matter, you think we're going to be put off by something that's silly or maybe seems inconsequential now? No, we deal with is silly and inconsequential every day. We make it our living. It's okay.
Did you go out the week in Minnesota? Did you go to the party that was hosted by the wives? Did you take the pictures that were posted on Instagram? Did you rub a coach the wrong way by taking the pictures at the party when you showed up to the week late? Was that what it was? Did you piss off the assistant coach who's the son of the head coach? Is that what it was?
Right.
And right. That's all that it was, by the way. You know, it's been rumored to be something worse than that.
Did you put your hands on somebody?
That's not what it was. It's far less severe than what some people have tried to make that rumor out to be.
Were you not good in practice and then you got sick and they really felt you would have been some kind of a liability out there on the field on every single play except the one that you were in on and graded out
it. You showed up in Minnesota and you found time to go out at night. Was that all it was? Not staying out late, not staying out past curfew or going out to... No, was it just... Oh, you showed up late. You couldn't make the team flight out here, and now you're finding time to socialize when you should be getting ready for the game? Was that all it was?
And if that's it, again, we can handle that. It's an explanation.
Just trying to figure it out, man. Just trying to figure it out. That's all it is.
But we still don't know.
Nope. So here we are just trying to fill in the blanks 2 years later because nobody wants to talk about it. Could win 5 more Super Bowls. We'll still want to know. We'll still want to know what the hell happened in Super Bowl 52 with Malcolm Butler. We'll still want to know the reason why he ended up on the bench and why we got subjected to a
Well, because you got you lost a Super Bowl to Nick Foles.
Yeah.
So it's never going to be okay.
And let the Eagles light them up. And Brady throws for 500 yards and loses. Yeah. We still want to know. We're always going to want to know. Hour number two is on the way. Do you want Mike Vrabel to be the next Patriots head coach?
No.
No?
No.
Who do you want?
Josh McDaniels.
Okay, we'll talk about that in 90 seconds. More, okay. A couple more football items. Do have some baseball items to get to. Not in the traditional sense. Not in a Red Sox sense. I'm not sure a lot of people love talking about the Red Sox right now. But this Rhode Island Little League team? Stealing signals?
That I want to talk about.
This has Hardy very excited to talk about baseball again. This Rhode Island team has Hardy's attention. So we'll get to that later on in the hour. But I do want to talk about this coaching idea of a former Patriot guy in Mike Vrabel potentially someday being a Patriot coach, or a former Patriot in Gerard Mayo now on the staff, maybe him being the next head coach of the Patriots, all those ideas. We'll get to those in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.